let's talk about the internet, particularly the accessibility, the security, and the policies shaping its evolution. And so joining us are representatives from the Internet Society, a global non-profit organization dedicated to ensuring that the internet remains open, secure, and also accessible to everyone.
Well, since its founding in 1992, the Internet Society has been at the forefront of advocating for digital inclusion, promotion of security best practices, and influencing global internet policies to maintain openness and innovation. And now South Sudan has officially joined the network. And so we have with us here two members of the Internet Society that was just launched over the weekend. And we have Joseph Abunigama and Richard Mawa. Michael, you're very welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you.
Yes, first off, very briefly, tell us about the launch. How was it?
Yes, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having us on the breakfast show. My name is Joseph Abunigama, and I'm the chapter president of the Internet Society. My colleague will also introduce himself. But yes, how was it? The event was great. It was amazing. We had a very good attendance from several stakeholders, people who are directly involved in the internet ecosystem. The amazing thing is it's not only, you know, when you think about the internet, you think it's only about the internet service providers, the people who provide internet, but no. Our stakeholders range from people from the media houses, lawyers, parliamentarians, government institutions, ISPs, internet service providers, and anybody who uses the internet is our stakeholder. So that attendance was diverse in that way.
So where do you fall?
Me personally?
Yes.
I mean, as a society, ours is to, we are the advocate. I mean, the body that advocates for a safe, actually our vision is internet for everyone. Mm-hmm. So every day we wake up, our work is to ensure that people have access to internet. So we come up with, like for example, if we realize there's a need for policy in the development of the internet, maybe we support that.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are various activities and objectives that the Internet Society is, but ours, we sit in the center whereby we are the, like the advocacy body that tries to do, encourage internet for everyone.
All right. Thank you very much. Richard, tell us a bit about your work at the Internet Society.
Okay. I'm called Mr. Richard Michael. I'm the vice president of the society in South Sudan. Yeah. Actually, briefly about the launch, as highlighted by my colleague, it was actually a very successful launch that we get in more stakeholders who joined us from government, private sector, those many like the telecommunication services, they all joined us. So it was actually a successful launch that we now introduce ourselves out, and then that is where we now started developing our plan now in like initiating partnerships immediately on that day. Actually, the society, Internet Society, as you said, it was founded long ago. However, most of the things that we do, besides advocacy, we also do internet development programs. Like when I talk about community networks, extending connectivity to rural communities, yeah, and then part of it are digital literacy programs. It's not only more about advocacy, but we also build, defend, and promote the internet. Yeah, those are our three key pillars, actually.
Now, all right, like we said earlier on, that South Sudan actually recently joined the Internet Society Network. Now, what does this mean for the people, the country, and also its digital future?
Well, by joining the network, like today, it's a globalized world. We can no longer continue to exist in isolation. Mm. So by joining the Internet Society, obviously you tap into various knowledge from other countries, because having been there before, already they have experiences in that. So there are also other various initiatives that would come along. As you can see today, our social media and our digital space is awash with a lot of hate speech, a lot of people talk aggressive stuff that you wouldn't even find in other countries. So in such a situation for us, maybe we'd try to push for training that can ensure safe use of the internet. Mm. I mean, those are the simple steps that we can take on. And then also, there's something called an internet exchange point. For example, let me give you an example. Like now, if you're using Zane and then you're MTN, you send, like maybe you want to request, like I want to text you, the two of you are next to each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to request something from him. You would find that information would go travel all the way to some internet place before coming back to Lucy.
And next,
you are just next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to come up with initiatives that can encourage internet exchange points, whereby that information doesn't need to travel out of the country. And come
what would it take, though, for South Sudan to have its own internet exchange point?
Maybe
it,
more.
Yeah, I think it is not going to be something that much, but what we need is like acceptance from many, like for the government is always looking forward to such initiatives. And then because internet exchange point is all about pairing the telecoms, like those providing internet,
mm-hmm.
they have to come together and then they have their connection is put in one facility. So some of them might look at this as a way of maybe like those who have market dominance, we look at this one as maybe a way of taking away their customers. But what we'll do is we'll start by awareness. We'll run all those programs, we aware them, we provide training, we'll be talking about the importance of internet exchange point. It's also not good, like if you are logging in into maybe you are doing search in the internet, you have to use external links. We have to ask, host our service within the country. So what we will do is we'll have to use an approach whereby we'll have to start with awareness trainings. We just like that until when we now come to a common understanding, when they now understand how important it is. And then we'll use also case studies from countries like Kenya. Then that is when I will now understand the importance of an internet exchange point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to understand, though, the implications of not having one. What are those? How is it affecting the country currently?
Actually, if you compare the internet rate in South Sudan, is much different if you compare it with Kenya.
How different?
Because Kenya, you know, if you look at the cost of the internet when you're using this different whatever, when they are not in one when they are not paired, it is actually expensive simply because the reason why there is a need to establish an internet exchange point is mainly to bring a cost-effective internet, mm-hmm. and then a high-speed internet also. You know, when you host things within, things become a bit with high speed. So the importance is that we will need a cost-effective internet that people can at least afford.
Mm. It's like, Abuni.
It's like you, the photos you have on your social media platforms. Every
yes.
time, like if you go now to maybe pictures you had 1 year ago, you want to request them, it will take you a bit of a long time to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these things, if you host them in-country, it's like your pictures are in Gudela and you are here at Miraya. So it takes you very short time,
a short distance,
rather than maybe picking it from the US. Mm. So that travel time is a long time, but it also cuts down cost. It's like transport, cost of transport. So by having that, you would come to realize some of these costs are reduced internally. Imagine sending 5 Mbps from here to the US, but sending 5 Mbps from here to maybe Munuki. So that distance is short.
All right. It makes
sense.
A lot of sense.
Yes.
And so this is the main reason why our internet can be slow sometimes, and then it is very expensive compared to the region.
Yes,
exactly.
And okay.
You spoke about harmonizing the internet facility or conniving with the telecommunication companies so you can be able to have a harmonized internet facility, though there will be kind of hesitance from some who might be fearing to lose their customers because of monopoly necessarily. So how do you intend to beat this scenario, so upcoming challenges?
As I said, for us at Internet Society, the biggest challenge that we'll see for us is a non-financial challenge. The challenge that we'll see is, as you said, the unacceptance, those who will not accept to join the community and fear their networks. But with the time, because this thing is something that, like, for it to happen, it needs like two and above telecommunication, or maybe like internet internet service providers to fear and join the internet exchange point. So it's also something that's going to be suicidal, like if you reject to join, and then when people seeing that if you're using like Zain, the internet is a bit cheaper, it's cheap, even you with the market dominance, you'll also lose customers. So mm-hmm. it's something suicidal. It's always good that...
We join. What a word. Thank you, Richard. Yeah. All right. Now, just coming to some of the other challenges you're seeing. I mean, before you came up with this idea to join and start the South Sudan chapter for the Internet Society, what prompted that? How has the journey been like?
It started a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I think there were several attempts to have it formed, and maybe would say 10 years.
10? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes, it is. So there were several groups, and I think our attempt was the last one. So there were different individuals that would try to... It's about unifying a few people together, and then you have a common goal, and then send in your application to the Internet Society. But the good thing is when we did ours, they still unite you with those guys who did the attempts before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we all came together. We had meetings. There were fallbacks. You know how forming some of these institutions on voluntary basis, sometimes people fall back. But eventually we pushed on. We have a good team that had ensured this took place. And until last year, 2023,
yeah.
Then that's when we formally registered it as an entity, and the headquarters accepted us as an entity, of which now we're functioning.
Yeah, actually what took long is because we have to coordinate between them. One of the first thing is they need us to settle it here locally to register with the relevant government
institutions.
Institutions. Like one of the first steps was to get letter of no objection from the regulator. And then we have to move on to the relevant person commission to register. And then after that, we have to submit to them that, yeah, we are now legally registered. So we need the charter letter, because they always send charter letter and then you sign. Once you sign the charter letter, that will now formalize the chapter. That was when now we officially received the charter letter on March 2024.
Let's get to hear from you some talk about successful examples that you might draw from the region or from the international countries as well, in terms of helping South Sudan to expand its internet access.
I don't know if I've understood, like, some of the
examples, yes.
Some of the initiatives that the Internet Society continues to do is in the areas of, if you go to their website, you would find different exchange points that have existed, that have been set up in various countries. We have chapters in Kenya, you have chapters in Ethiopia, in Uganda. So all these countries have existing Internet Society bodies that have ensured and advocated for some of these internet exchange points, which contribute to. But also, you see, when we talk about the cost of internet coming down, it doesn't necessarily, by having an exchange point, it completely comes down. But it's one of the several steps, one of the several steps that have to be, is put in place to ensure cost of internet comes down. So when we say it's going to come down, it's not the end, because you need to invest in infrastructure also.
Yeah.
You need to send in fiber optic cables between towns, like now between Juba and maybe Rumbek and whatsoever. Then, so it's not the only way of making sure the internet is cheap. So I want to make that clarity. So there are several other steps that need to take place. So in terms of success, there are several trainings. Ourselves, we did, I think, three trainings last year on things to do with encryption. Data encryption, you know, when you talk about encryption, is something to do with data safety, transmitting information from one end to another. We did something on digital literacy.
Digital security training.
Digital security training. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the successes that we have done here, having existed for 1 year. The same has been replicated in neighboring countries.
Yeah.
I don't know if I drive too much.
You know, cybersecurity and trust are also major concerns globally. And what steps will you take now to promote the online safety and privacy in South Sudan?
Yeah, one of the urgent steps we took last year was to provide the trains. We trained a number of 35 civil society representatives. We trained them on digital security, and that was one of the steps that we took. And then we this year realized that we need to go back a bit to bring it more broader, to make sure that it should be a digital literacy training, where security will also be part of that. That is one of the things. So we would just rest on that, because we have seen a lot of threats coming up, especially targeting those who work with organizations. We know, like, there are a lot of scams. Yeah, those are the things that we identified last year, and then we conducted a successful training on digital security.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mawa, and thank you, Richard.